Am I? Okay, there we go. How many of y'all have been to Israel? Oh, come on, folks. Let's go to Israel. How's that? You're safer in Israel than you are in Parkersburg. You really are. And it brings... When you hit the battery terminal, it goes off. But every believer, I believe we need to spend some time in Israel because it puts things in perspective. And when you go to Bethlehem, it's you go to this, you have to go through security because if you're Jewish, you cannot go into Bethlehem. It's an Arab-run area. And these monstrous walls are bigger than this and machine gun turrets and all that. But you go from clean Israel into dirty Bethlehem. There's bars on the windows. I mean, there's trash in the streets. But when you go there, you look upon the hills from where the shepherds were. You know, those hills are still there. And Jesus wasn't in a nice little manger like that. He was in a stone manger in a cave, not in a nice little barn like we have. But when you go there, it changes your perspective in a lot of ways because we Americanize the Word of God. And that's probably one of the most dangerous things that we can do. But again, I just want to say, stop right there and say thank you for allowing me to come and be with you all again. It was a joy being with you a few months ago. I'm sorry to hear about the gentleman who is going to be speaking this week and with his battle with COVID. So we'll be praying for him, and I've been praying for you all that God would guide to you all the man of God's choosing for this flock. It's a hard time. It's a difficult time. But remember, whatever you're doing now, please don't quit when God calls a pastor here. You know, it's kind of like, he's here, we can quit. Keep doing what you're doing. Matter of fact, you're going to hear more about that on January the 2nd because I'll be back to harass you then. How's that? Well, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come. We want to lift you up. We thank you for the whole aspect that we are all called to the gospel ministry. None of us are excluded. And Lord, again, we pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ there that have been ravaged by this tornado and we know that there's going to be believers that are there, and we pray that those believers will show your power, your grace, and manifest the strength of Christ, even in the worst of times, that their witness will lead others into a relationship with you, and that your kingdom would be built. So, Lord, again, we thank you. We pray again for those who are battling this nasty COVID, also the flu and the other things that are coming our way. It just shows us more and more how our bodies are not as healthy as what we would like them to be. But one day we will graduate and be in your presence and not have to worry about this stuff. But until that day comes, Lord, may we have our hands fast to the plow, fixing our eyes upon you, the author and finisher of our faith. Well, as I come here this morning, I'd like for you, if you've got your Bibles, I hope you do. I'm kind of old-fashioned fella. I like books. And because one of these days, your iPad and stuff's going to go by the way, and you can't take notes on an iPad. Maybe some of them do now. But I'm kind of old-fashioned, and I don't have a PowerPoint, and I don't wear skinny jeans. I don't wear skinny anything, okay? You all laugh. I've seen you all walk in. Okay. You know, as I was looking at these little ones down here, it always is a blessing and to see that. But I remember when you were a kid and usually, you know, those were the days when you had crayon and paper. And I remember my Sunday school teacher had us all sit down with a piece of paper and crayons and she played the song Silent Night. And so as the song Silent Night was going on, we were supposed to draw a portrait of what we thought Silent Night looked like. And again, we were 5, 6 years old, something like that. Well, we were all proud of our portraits. And I took mine home, and my dad said, "What did you learn in Sunday school?" And I said, "Dad, this is a portrait of Silent Night." And he looked at it. He said, "Well, okay, who's this?" I said, "That's Mary." He said, "Who's this?" "That's Joseph." Of course, they never looked like a real person anyway. What's this? "Well, that's baby Jesus." "What's it?" "Well, this is a donkey, and here's a camel. But why is the sun in the bottom left-hand corner and not up here?" I said, "Oh, Dad, that's round John Virgin." Come on, folks. That's the only dad joke I'll tell you today, okay? All right. Sorry, Fred. I'd like to ask you to turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 1. This might not seem like a Christmas time message, but it really is. And I would like to talk about the secrets of heaven. You know, there are secrets we won't know, secrets that were obvious. And then there's some things that we don't know yet. But I'd like to talk about past secrets revealed. And that's the coming Messiah. If you read Isaiah 53, it talks about the Messiah who's coming. And talks about how that we have sheep like gone astray, each his own way. But how that the Messiah was to come and to take our sin away. Matter of fact, if you're in a Jewish home, as they read through the book of Isaiah, they skip Isaiah 50, latter part of 52, in what we call chapter 53. Because that's not the picture of the Messiah that the Jewish nation wants. Again, if you go to Israel, you'll see billboards looking for the Messiah. Messiah is coming. And it breaks your heart when you look at it and say, Messiah's already come. But you know, we also have billboards like that in the United States. You know, our Messiah can be a vaccine. Our Messiah can be food. Our Messiah can be the ridding of war. That's not the Messiah. The Messiah is the one that came to a wicked, perverse world to save wicked and perverse people like us. You know, if you think about your spiritual grade card, all of us have a big F on our grades. Every one of us. Now, sometimes we might come to church and we might give to the food basket. We might do things thinking that we're going to raise that F up from an F to a D or maybe a C. And therefore, you know, I'm doing the Christian thing. No. All of us will always have an F until we come to Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is the only one that was 100%. On the way up here this morning, as I was driving, I like to set my speedometer, and I've got a little thing telling me my average speed. But you know, one thing I notice about that is even if you take a little bit of a break, say it was I set at 70. So I've been doing 70 all the way up. Man, it's good. And then all of a sudden, I take a break, and I go in, you know, get me a Mountain Dew or something, I get back out and I get in the car and all of a sudden it's back down to 67. Do you know something? Unless I speed, I can never get it back to the 70. Folks, we are wicked, perverse people separated from God by our sin. But it's only Jesus Christ that can make that. But you know, that is the past secrets revealed. And again, I love the Old Testament. I love the prophets to see how even beginning in the book of Genesis, Messiah is coming. It's called the scarlet thread of redemption. It started in Genesis. And it came in through the New Testament. And there is going to be a time when our Lord Jesus Christ will be revealed. But before you came to know Christ, before I came to know Christ, this is one of the secrets of heaven. Our eyes weren't open. We weren't open to spiritual things. We might have been spiritually oriented, but we didn't have a relationship with Christ. And as we think about that, as our lives have been touched, I'm not much of a singer, and I don't envy this, and you might not either. But as I was coming up here this morning, I kept thinking about a song that I learned in church, Sunday school. Now, You can help me, and I beg you to do that. But do you remember this song? And if you do, sing it with me. It's okay. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul when at the cross the Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Let's sing that again. Some of you started getting with it there, okay? Let me ask you, do you remember the day that the glory of the Lord was revealed to you and you were in need of Jesus and you came to Christ? Do you remember that day? Yeah, that's what we're singing about here. You know, a secret revealed. Let's sing this again. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul when at the cross the Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Now, what's happened since that day? That's the next question. You came to know Christ. What's happened? Has your life changed? Are you in the process of growing in a relationship with Him? Understanding His glory. Because the glory wasn't totally revealed just when you came to know Christ. Because this, every day, is revealing something to us. So, there's only one secret in Scripture. Did you know that? Only one secret. God is an open book. Matter of fact, let me take it back. There's two secrets. We don't know when the church is going to be raptured, do we? Right? Only the Father knows. Remember when Jesus was asked that question? He said, hey, only the Father knows. And in heaven itself right now, the Heavenly Father is waiting to tell our blessed Savior, go get your bride. A lot of us, and I learned this in Israel, you remember when Jesus talked about, you know, that like a thief in the night, and talked about the virgins and the betrothal. What they would do, and sometimes they do it today in Israel, but you would go and a young man would see a young lady and be attracted to her character, unlike today. You know, today most young men are attracted to curves, you know. And all of us know those curves go away, don't they? Hey, you're with me, okay. But these men were taught to look at a woman, not physically, but look at her character. And it was something that was very special for the parents to raise that young lady in a manner of godliness. To give her that foundation. Remember Mary, you know, the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ? You read the Magnificat, you talk about somebody that knew the Word of God and had a relationship with God. But that young man would go and he would talk to that family and they would come up with a dowry. Now, they weren't selling their wife, their daughter. A dowry was to honor the family for such a wonderful young lady. So it wasn't that you're bartering. But the young man would go back to the father and say, Father, you know, Sarah down here, I went and talked to her mom and dad, and they want 450 pieces of silver. The father knew that young lady because they'd grown up there. He said, much too high a price. Much too high a price. See, that's what the Lord Jesus did for us. He paid much too high a price for you and me, did He not? And you see this thing up here? Be a gospel witness. How many of you have been, now I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, how many of you all been praying for the Taliban, for ISIS? I've got friends over there that are losing their heads because of their faith. Well, how dare I pray for them? They're godless people. Exactly! Because you and I were godless too. What did Jesus say? You pray for your enemies. You love your enemies, right? But when's the last time we prayed for them? That, you know, anybody, no, don't answer this. Anybody here want to see somebody go to hell? No. then why are we so quiet? See, we're keeping the secret of heaven quiet by not running our mouths about Jesus. We can run our mouths about everything else. Can we not? But why are we not talking about Jesus? I think all of us need a gospel tetanus shot that would get rid of lockjaw, wouldn't it? Folks, we need to start using this to reveal the secret of heaven that our world sees in our lives because we have been changed. That wonderful day that Jesus reached down and saved us. See, we are keeping the secret of heaven silent. We say, well, we can just win them by our lifestyle. Folks, most believers' lifestyles really stink. We're running more people away from Jesus than to. And if you want proof of that, if you go out to eat after church today, look at the servers. My son was a server at Chili's for 13 years. And the servers hated church people. They come in, they're rude, they're demanding, and they are cheap, and they don't leave a tip unless a dollar bill in a track. What kind of a message is that handling, huh? Or you come in and you order your steak, and your steak is a little bit more done than what it should be. Give me my steak. Oh, this thing's terrible. I want another one. Folks, shut your mouth and eat it. Scripture says give thanks in all things, right? But, you know, when we start being demanding like that, and not just on Sunday afternoons, but, you know, when you go to eat today, if you go out, look at your server and say, thank you for waiting on us. And all of a sudden you get this look in the eye like somebody just hit him in the head with a dead chicken. And then as you're talking with them, might take your order to get your drinks, and they go and bring it back and say, you know, Mary or Bob, we're going to pray here in just a couple minutes, and we want to ask you how we can pray for you. My wife and I have had people literally burst into tears, run away. One lady did that 3 times, and she finally came back and she said, my wife and I, we'd been trying to find a place to eat, and every place was backed up, but this place wasn't, so we went in. She said, 30 minutes ago, I found out that my daughter was pregnant by one of the biggest drug dealers in Huntington. And she said, I raised my hand towards God and said, God, if you're real, send somebody here to pray for me. When we asked her how we could pray for her, she burst into tears and ran 3 times. Finally, she came back. She said, I didn't think God was real. Now, let me tell you, if God can use Balaam's donkey to give one of the clearest gospel messages, we have no job security, okay? Right? Last night, Sue and I were out of place, and there's a little girl. We asked her how we could pray for her. She said, I want you to pray for my baby. I said, what's going on? She said, we had an ultrasound, and my baby's got a deformed arm. And we don't know what other deformities. She said, you'd actually pray for us? And my wife got up and went over and put her arms around the girl. She said, honey, I hurt with you. Yes, we're going to pray for you. People want to hear the gospel. They want to see the gospel. We live in a way to earn the right. One of the classes I teach on evangelism is like this. And these are the steps in presenting the gospel. Sometimes it's quick, sometimes it takes time. Number one, you find common ground. You know, I talked to a dear brother here a minute ago, and he's a pilot, I'm a pilot, and you know, we haven't talked about pilot stuff, but you find common ground. Then you build a relationship. Then you earn respect. Lastly, you share the gospel. You don't walk in with your 75-pound black Bible and say, do you know Jesus, turn or burn, cry or fry? Get out of here, sucker. That's not evangelism. Evangelism isn't just leaving a track somewhere. Evangelism is taking your life and revealing the secrets of heaven, of what God is showing you and living through you. That's how this church will grow. That's how any church will grow. Relationships build the church. Now, I've gotten in trouble saying this, and I'm sure you all know me well enough. My mouth gets me in a lot of trouble. But, you know, bringing somebody to church to hear the gospel is not anywhere in Scripture. Did you know that? It says, as you are going. It says, go. Evangelism takes place outside. Edification takes place inside. We are the ones, you are the ones called. And I want to go back to Galatians chapter 1 here. I've had this intro for a short message. Paul, an apostle, not sent from men, nor through the agency of man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me to the church of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at this. Who gave himself for our sins. Isn't that what we celebrate Christmas about? Right? Who gave himself for our sins so that. Now, anytime you see a so that anywhere in your Bible, it means there's a purpose. He saved you and me for the purpose that he might rescue us from the present evil age. Amen. You don't want to see my sin degree. I don't want to see yours. And guess what? He doesn't remember them. That's one of the great things. According to the will of God, of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forevermore. Wow. Look at this. You and I have the same commendation as what Paul did. Paul was just a regular man, dramatically saved by Jesus Christ, just like you and I. But look here, but I like what he says. You know, I am an apostle. Now, the word apostle means sent one. Okay? Paul was not an original apostle. He wasn't under the direct tutelage, the earthly tutelage of our Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, every one of us in this room, you and I are apostles. We are sent ones by God to take forth the glorious message, that glorious secret to be revealed. And like he said, so that he might rescue us. That's the purpose of this secret revealed, that he might rescue people. Do you have somebody in your life that you want to see rescued and come to Jesus? I pray you do. Because, you know, too many times we like to go on our Christian cruises and our Christian this way, Christian that. Why not go on a Heathens R Us cruise? You ever thought about that? Hey, let's go on a mission field. Yes. Let's talk to people. You never know what's going to happen. You know, we need to go to the lost. And see, that's why edification is within the church. We are here in the church to train. If you look over in Ephesians, we are to train the people of the church for the work of the ministry. A pastor can't do it. Okay? We are a body. Too convicting. Let's move on, okay? The other thing that we don't know is the second coming of Christ. Two different events. Okay? All I can tell you is the second coming of Christ is going to be 7 years after the rapture of the church. Now I can tell, but I can't give you a date. But are you looking for heaven? Too many times we as believers, we're saying, oh, Lord, I'm looking forward to going to heaven. I want to go to heaven to be with you. And we do. But have you ever thought why he hasn't answered that prayer and left you here? To take the glorious gospel. He's not through with you here. And there's nothing greater. Years ago, I did ambulance work. I was there delivering babies. I got to deliver my oldest daughter. You know, that was a tremendous honor to hold that new child, a new birth, a life. You know, I think we need to be spiritual obstetricians. When you start seeing people come to Christ, when you share Christ with them and they come to Christ, you have just delivered a baby. Everybody loves babies. And let me say this, ladies. You all know ugly babies. Because women have 47 flavors of yes and no. You all have your own qualifications. We guys, we're stupid. We just have black and white yes or no. You tell us, yeah, honey, go ahead and go play golf. Yeah, go ahead and go play golf. But when you come home, you're going to pay for it. See, we just heard you say, go play. We didn't understand the other flavor. Ladies, am I not right? Yeah, yeah. And remember, we guys, we're dumb. We fall for those things. All right? So tell us what flavor. But I've seen women come in, they have this baby, and so everybody says, oh, that's a pretty baby. That's a lovely baby. And everybody in that room knows that baby is not pretty. All the women know what flavor of pretty they mean. Okay? But you know something? We as children of God, we have people who come to Christ that are not pretty. They're not ugly. They've got rips in their jeans. They've got dents in their lives. That's you and me, is it not? How has Jesus changed you? How has he helped? You know, he doesn't take out the dents, but he uses those dents to impact lives. Remember common ground? Yeah, that common ground? Yeah. There's things in your lives, and as we were talking earlier, many times our failures are actually our best successes. We learn more from our failures than we do from our successes. Think about how many times you've blown it. And somebody else in the body of Christ said, man, I've blown it. I've done this. Hey, that's right. I've been there. I know your pain. And I just want to tell you that I love you. And the great thing about it is, that's covered. That's covered. We'll talk about that in just a second. So we've talked about the past secrets revealed. And we talked about the future secrets that are hidden, the rapture and the second coming. Now the last one that I want to take time with is the present secrets exposed. And we are finding out a lot of things that are being exposed nowadays, are we not? But for the believer, and again, if you have your Bible or if you got your iPad, I want you to be able to use this. How many of you remember the old days in youth group when you had sword drills? Remember those? Okay. And you know, those were great things. I know Awana does that, you know, along with the quizzing and all. You know, that's fantastic because do you know if a person doesn't come to know Christ before the age of 8, there's only a 5% chance they'll ever come to Christ. Wow. Yeah, you're 70 years old, you come to Christ, you say, boy, you cut that one close there, didn't you? Yeah. But you know, that foundation in our children is so key. And I praise the youth ministry. The children are not the church of tomorrow. They are the church of today. And let me say this. The children have so much to learn from us old folks. Somebody said, well, you know, I got a baby crying in church. Great. I love crying babies. Now, I don't like cry babies. Big difference. But, you know, you see these kids, well, y'all quit doing that. Why would they want to come if they're always told to quit doing something? Here's a little one. The next time you go to the mall and you go by one of the recruitment stations for the military, you got your grandkids, your great-grandkids, take them in there and say, go and tell those folks thank you for keeping our country safe. You've never seen such smiles in your life. When's the last time you pulled up beside a police officer, rolled down the window, and you said, sir, I just want to tell you, or an EMS or a firefighter stopped by the station, folks, I just want to tell you, we love you, we appreciate you, and we're praying for you. Thank you for what you do. Or how about the poor little person, and I say not poor in that, but the person that's working at the nursing home or the hospital that's cleaning up all the stuff. When's the last time you told a housekeeper thank you and you appreciated what they were doing? See, that's how you get into people's lives, just those simple things. But now, turn in, if you would, back to Psalm 103. Psalm 103 is just something else. Take time, and in the next several days during this Christmas season, read Psalm 103, read Psalm 103, read Psalm 103. But it starts out like this: is bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who pardons all our iniquities, who heals all our diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. But look over in verse 12. This is something, remember this. Satan loves to remind us of our past. Okay? Our Lord reminds us of our present and our future. When things of our past come back to haunt us, remember that has nothing to do with your Heavenly Father and with your Savior. Because Satan is trying to derail you and to bring about a guilt that no longer is there, that God doesn't see. But look at verse 12. I love this. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. Folks, you can't get any better than that. But also there's another passage that we can go to. We won't right now. But it talks about how that he took all of our sins and he buried it in the deepest part of the ocean and he remembers it no more. A lot of times we like to use that verse, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I have problems with that translation. It's good. But it gives you the idea that unless you confess your sin, you're not forgiven, right? If you look at the text, it says, if, which means reality, or when we confess our sins, he has been faithful to forgive us. It's a past action. How many times do you have to ask for forgiveness? Once. When you came to Christ once, turn over to the book of Colossians, chapter 2, as I call it, the book of collisions, because it collides with my life, but it brings about something sweet. But Colossians, chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. Look at this. Let's go back to verse 11. And in him, or Christ, you were also circumcised with the circumcision not made with hands in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith, not the baptism. We were raised up through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Folks, you and I are saved by the same power that raised our Lord Jesus. Don't think that you're powerless. Hey, have you noticed? Nobody's scared of the baby. They're scared of the risen Christ. Okay? But look at this. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh. I like that verb, were. It means past tense, right? When you and I were dead in the transgressions, the uncircumcision of flesh, he made you alive together with him. What's the rest of the set? What does it say there? Having forgiven us all our sins. You want to know when it was done? Look at the next verse. Having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of the decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he's taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Here's a little picture. How long ago was it that Jesus was crucified? Give me a number. Okay, 2,000 years. Close enough, okay? It says that he paid for my sin debt 2,000 years ago, right? Okay? On December 17th, 1971, I came to know Christ. 50 years this next week. Okay? Jesus paid for it then, but I accepted his payment on that day, right? Do you remember that day? Do you remember that day? Okay, now we move up here to 2021. Now, do you think that I have sinned since 1971, 50 years ago, to today? Do you think I've sinned? You better believe it. That's why my wife isn't here today. Okay? Now, my past sins were paid for, right? What about my future sins? Oh, I got to go back to the cross, don't I? They were paid for then. And you know, you and I battle, and maybe even this time of year battle, with the aspect of, well, here's Christmas, and I'm a believer, but I'm living under the guilt of sin. Folks, that's where Satan wants you. As a child of God, I should be sensitive to the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. And remember, it is not a sin to be tempted. Go to the book of James. It's not a sin to be tempted. It's when we start playing with the temptation. It's not if you look once to be tempted. And let me tell you, I love pickup trucks. Okay? Yeah. I'm not a part of the new Green Deal. I like those, you know. I see some of these trucks out there and I think, oh, man, it sure looked good in my driveway. Yeah, it's a terrible thing to confess to a group of people that you lust for a truck. Don't be too hard on me because you lust for other things too, don't you? Yeah, yeah. You know, new dining room suit or whatever. But, you know, when I sin, I've got to go back and say, Lord Jesus, thank you that I have been forgiven. Have been. And I thank you that I'm covered. And you know something? Satan reminds me of my past, but Jesus said, okay, here you are right now. Let's grow from here. God's not a God of second chances. He's a God of numerous chances. But see, that is how we come through things. Years ago, a man told me this. He told this to a young man who was going through the throes of divorce. He and his wife had been in the ministry, and she took off. And this man was telling me what he told this young man. He said, remember this, three things. You can't make somebody love you. You can't make anybody be obedient to the Word of God. He said, but the thing that you can do, he said, you hold the path. You hold to Jesus. And you know, when people see us go through difficult times, you know, this last week, I've had several funerals. I had a funeral not too long ago of a young lady. She was 34, had four kids. Her husband was 37. He keeled over from a heart attack. What do you tell people? You want to be in the ministry? Come on. Come on. But you know, in 1972, my mama went through that, the very same thing. I was one of those kids. So you know something? There's that common ground that we can come to them and put our arms around them. You know, as I told you before about my son Brady, 10 weeks of age, died of SIDS. To this day, his homegoing has touched lives. And the evidence and the things that have happened in your life, God uses those. What do we use? Romans 8:28 all the time, right? Don't ever write that down at a funeral home. Okay? That's not, no. For, you know, for all things work together to the good of those who love the Lord, are called according to his purpose, in order that they are predestined to become conformed into the image of Christ. Sometimes we need, God needs to put the knife to us, doesn't he? We're talking about the tornado down in Wayne County back in the winter. I don't know how you all were affected, but did you all have a real nasty ice storm up here? You know, it took literally, we were without electricity for over 2 weeks. But the thing of it is, I made a statement in church. I said, do you realize that the storms of our life cut out the weak spots and the dead spots. Have you ever noticed that? You know, these windstorms come through, these ice storms. It's the weak parts of the woods that get broken down. You know, even a fire, a forest fire that we had over in Nicholas County the other day, Fayetteville. The guy said, this is a great fire. It took out all the rubbish to keep other fires from coming. I thought, you know, that's what my God does to conform me, to use me. I'm his vessel. But a couple other things to remember. I'd like for you to turn back to Zechariah. If you can remember Zechariah way back in the back. Oh, so just a second here and we shall conclude. Zechariah chapter 3. I love this chapter. You say, well, the Old Testament doesn't have anything to do with things. Oh, yes, it does. Zechariah chapter 3. And the name Zechariah means God remembers. Do you know what the name Elizabeth means? Do we have any Elizabeths in the room with that name? Okay. Do you know what your name means? God promised. Zechariah and Elizabeth. God remembered and he kept his promise. Isn't that neat? Okay, that and 50 cents will get you a bottle of water somewhere. But look in Zechariah chapter 3. Then he showed me Joshua the high priest, and this was not Joshua from the book of Genesis or Exodus. Before the angel of the Lord, and anytime you see the angel of the Lord, that's the pre-incarnate Christ. It's called a Christophany. He said, standing before Satan at his right hand to accuse him. Satan is always accusing us. Satan still has access to heaven, and the scripture tells us that he accuses the brethren daily. Okay? You know what our Lord Jesus says? Father, they're covered. Isn't that neat? Get that? So he goes on, and the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. Indeed, the Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and standing before the Lord. I want to give you a good farm illustration here. Do you see that? He was clothed with filthy garments. It meant that his garments were manure covered. He was in a high priestly robe. And every time he took off a robe, there was still a manure covered garment. Our sin is offensive to the thought of God, to the sight of God, and to the smell of God. Now, if you want to, go out and live in your barn and just soak it all up. Because that is exactly what our sin is like before God. But look at this. The Lord spoke and said to those who are standing before him, remove the filthy garments from him. Jesus removed your garments. You didn't. You don't have to patch them up. Not at all. It said, see, I have taken your iniquity from you, and I'll clothe you with festival garments. Jesus Christ took our sin. He took our penalty. He took our hopelessness. He took everything, and he's given us the garments of heaven. Now, heaven came down, and glory filled my soul. Do you remember the day your garments were changed? I pray so. And just think, you never have to change them again. We get to grow in his holiness. Now, I've got a whole bunch of other verses to give you, but I will save you that for another day. But I challenge you, go Google it, get your Bible concordance out, and find out how many places it talks about forgiveness of sin. In Micah 7:19 was one I alluded to earlier about he took our sins and cast it into the deepest part of the sea. One of my men one time gave me a picture of that, and it's got a sign in the middle of the ocean, and the sign in the ocean says, your sins are forgiven, no fishing here. Don't go back and live in it. One of my favorite matter of fact, it is my favorite hymn. And like I said, I like new music, I like old music, but I like music that's got some teeth to it. But it's a song, And Can It Be? I was 22 years old before I ever heard this song. But it says, and can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died he for me who caused his pain, for me who him to death pursued, amazing love. How can it be that thou, my God, should die for me? The next verse says, he left his Father's throne above, so free, so infinite his grace, emptied himself of all but love, and bled for Adam's helpless race. 'Tis mercy all, immense and free. Oh, praise my God, it reaches me. Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, and the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off. Do you remember the day when your chains fell off? Don't put them back on. My chains fell off. I woke, the dungeon flooded with light. My chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. Then here's the last verse, comes from Romans chapter 8. No condemnation now I dread. Jesus and all in him is mine. Alive in him, my living head, and clothed in righteousness divine. Bold I approach the eternal throne and claim the crown through Christ my own. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, should die for me? Don't keep it a secret. My challenge to you in closing is this. As Christmas approaches, we must remember and be challenged to remember who we are in Christ, what Christ has done for us, and also what he has called us to do. Now, don't go out of here trying to be better. Don't try to go out, go out and let us leave with the truth of Galatians, with the reality that we are called by an agency of man, not of man, but through Jesus Christ the Father. And in verse 10, it says, if we are pleasing men, we would not be bondservants of Christ. May this be a different type of a Christmas message, but remember, you've got a gift that nobody else can give out, and it doesn't cost anything. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for these dear folks. Thank you for this opportunity to share the gospel. And let us remember, as up here on the sign it says, be a gospel witness. Lord, we are a witness wherever we go. But may it be a witness that draws people to Christ. And Lord, there might be some folks here that have been church members for 20, 30, 50 years, whatever. And they believe they're saved just by walking down the aisle or shaking hands with the pastor. But there's been no changed life. Lord, I pray that right now that your Holy Spirit would deal with them and just they would move from a legalistic religion to a free relationship with a Savior, being identified as a child of God. Lord, thank you for this Christmas time that we remember you, our greatest gift, but also we remember the day that we came to a saving knowledge of you. And Lord, if we have believers here who are just kind of sit, soaking, and being soured, Lord, refresh our hearts. Raise us up. Turn our eyes on you, not on the conditions of the world, but fixing our eyes on Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set the cross before him. So Lord, we come to you and ask for you to move mightily in our midst, as only you can do. And we ask this in your glorious name and for your glory. And amen.
This is our invitation. It's time for us to respond what the Spirit has been doing during the service in your heart. And if you feel led, if you've never accepted Christ and you need to do that, you can come down front this morning. Kevin's going to be down front here, as well as Brady. If you'd like to talk with Brady, you can do that as well. The altar is also open for you if you need to pray about something. Or maybe you just need to, once again, just come up to one of these guys and have them pray with you as well. But most of all, what we ask you to do is just be obedient to the Spirit this morning and what He's asking you to do. Let's stand and sing our invitation, all right? My Jesus, I love Thee. I know Thou art mine. For Thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art Thou. If ever I love Thee, my Jesus, 'tis Thou. I love Thee because Thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love Thee for wearing the thorns on Thy brow. If ever I love Thee, my Jesus, 'tis Thou.
Good morning. Hi, as you can see, I'm Kevin. I'm the deacon on call this week. If you guys need anything at all, call that number on the screen. Before we pray, I have a couple things. First off, next week they will be selling tickets for the expo for the out in the foyer. If you guys have any questions, see Chris, see Randy, one of the guys on Sportsman. They can help you out, but go buy those tickets. It is an awesome event. And second, too, I don't do this because I get nerves up here, but this past week God's put a lot of stuff on my heart, and I have to share it. The past few months have been they've been interesting, to say the least. Through some trials, I'd say my faith has grown in ways that I couldn't have ever imagined before. So we all know that God uses hard times and trials to mature us and to grow our faith in Him, or as James 1:2 says, the testing of your faith produces endurance. Rick's preached on this for the past 2 weeks, and you covered some today, thank you. At those times, we don't like going through those trials, that discipline. We don't like that bitter root. But we know that God's got a plan. Still, though, when we're in those hard times, those trials, I do this too, we will cry out to God to take that pain away, to calm that storm. At times He does, at times He doesn't. But even if He doesn't, we can't give up. We can't take our eyes off of Christ. And there are times that I have to, that we all have to, be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and just have the courage to stand in front of that fiery furnace and to say that I know that our God can deliver us, but even if He doesn't, I won't give up. I won't give in. Maybe someone out there, I don't know, someone online is going through their own fires, their own trials right now, and you're thinking that you can't go any further, that you can't make it. Just remember that just like those three men did, we've got Christ in there with us. And also just remember that no circumstances on this earth, nothing will change who we are in Christ. I don't know what anyone's going through. It's all different for each one of us, but just remember that God's bigger than all of it. He is. He has shown me that so many times over these past few months. So it's hard to go on like this. I think we can still beat the Methodists to lunch. So let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, just for your love, your grace, mercy, and forgiveness. Lord, we thank you for this church and this church family. Father, we pray for all those out there who are hurting right now, who are going through different situations. And Father, we again pray for everyone that has been affected by these storms. I pray that you just provide for them, just be with all the volunteers and the rescue workers as well. Father, I as always, Lord, pray for our new pastor, for that man that you have selected to be our next pastor, and I again pray for everyone on Pastor Search Committee. Father, I do also pray for this offering, Lord, that it's blessed the gift and the giver. In Christ's name.
Amen. I tell you what, he's about ready to start preaching up here, isn't he? Brother. I think if we can't get hold of Danny or Brady, we know who's up here next, Kevin. He won his resume. Start sweating now, man. All right. God works in mysterious ways. We can just keep on going, brother. All right. Hey, listen, have a great week. Don't forget, here's the ways that you can give. And appreciate you guys so much. Appreciate your prayers. Don't forget, pray for, I was getting ready to point at the candles. Pray for our pastor. That's what the chair represents, as well as our team. All right. So we're going to sing you out. You all have a great week.